Don Hodson, and this is an oral history interview for the Eastern Wyoming College Bicentennial Project. The date is September 14, 1975. I'm visiting with Mrs. Harry Malone of Yoder, Wyoming, who was an early homesteader to this country and came to Yoder when the town began. Ms. Malone, would you mind giving me your full name, please?
Mary Malone.
And when were you born, Mrs. Malone?
I was born in July 10th, 1892.
1892, July 10th.
Mm-hmm.
And whereabouts?
In Rainier, Oregon.
Okay. Ms. Malone, how did you get from Rainier, Oregon, then, to this part of Wyoming?
Oh, well, my folks, my father had homesteaded in Logan County, Nebraska, and they went to Oregon and were out there about a couple of years, and I was born in Oregon, and then they moved back to Nebraska, and then I came from, Harry and I were married in Nebraska, and then we came out here and homesteaded.
Now,
in 1916.
Was your father a farmer back in Nebraska?
Yes, he was.
And you married your husband, Harry, in Nebraska?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Was he also a farmer?
Harry or his father?
No, Harry, your husband.
Well, he farmed there 1 year, and then he came here and he farmed, but he didn't care for farming. Carpentering was what he liked best.
Had you been married then approximately 1 year before
yes.
you came?
Just a little over 1 year when we came out here. We were married in 1915 and we came out here in 1916 and homesteaded.
Did you know you were going to come out and homestead when you came out?
Yes, the fall before we came, Harry came out and filed on this homestead. Heard about this land opening up and decided we wanted to come to Wyoming.
Now, whereabouts was your homestead?
Well, it was 20 miles northwest of where Yoder is now. At that time, there was a little post office there called Lakeview, and the mail was brought out from Wheatland twice a week to this post office. It was in just a dwelling house. They had a store and a post office there together.
Now, was this close to the rim?
Well, yes, I guess it was about 10 miles or something like that, maybe more than that. I don't know exactly.
Well, how would you have been closer to Lingle then?
Than Torrington, you mean? Or
well, then Torrington, or even...
Yes, Lingle was, we were closer to Lingle. We used to go there to buy our groceries. And once in a while we'd go to Torrington or Wheaton, but usually just Lingle.
What prompted your husband and you to decide to leave Nebraska and take up homesteading?
Well, I hardly know, only just that we both wanted to come to Wyoming, and the farm we had lived on the first year we was married by the man we rented the farm of, he decided he wanted to farm, and so I guess we just didn't know where we could rent another farm, and we decided we'd try homesteading.
How large was your homestead, Mrs. Long?
It was, we just filed on 160 acres, and then there was one of our neighbors didn't stay there very long, and his land was joining ours, so Harry bought his. And so we had 320 acres there.
Now, you must have been a young girl when you came out to the land.
Yes, I was about 20 years old.
Did the country surprise you in any way, or?
Well, yes, in a way it did. Coming out from Torrington to our homestead, Well, about 10 miles out of Torrington, it was a good road, but we soon just ran into just cow trails. There was a road to the Barnes Range. We were about 3 miles from the Barnes Range, and there was a road there, but when we left that, it was just wandering around over the prairie.
Now, how did you get from in Nebraska? You were in Logan County, is that right?
Yes. Well, we came out here in a covered wagon. We had a team of mules, and then we had a team of horses, ponies. We had a buggy. fastened on back of the covered wagon. We brought a dozen chickens along, and every town we'd go through, rooster would start crowing, and everybody'd come out to see us. I mean, they'd come to the doors and windows and watching us.
Well, travel by covered wagon really wasn't that common in 1916, was it?
Not really, but it was more common when my father came from Illinois to Logan County. But we wanted to bring the wagon and the mules, so we just decided to come in a covered wagon.
Now, do you recall, and you mentioned that your father went from Illinois to Nebraska in a covered wagon?
Well, really my father didn't, but my mother and her parents did. They came from Iowa, but my father came out on the train to North Platte, and then he walked from North Platte out to his homestead, which was 35 miles from North Platte.
Now, your travel out here to Torrington, then to your homestead by covered wagon, took you about how many days?
Well, we were 12 days on the road, but it really wouldn't have taken quite that long, but one day it rained terrible, and the covered wagon, it got to leaking, so we stopped, and we were at Baird, Nebraska then. We stayed over there, almost all one day, and of course we usually stopped early in the evening too, and didn't drive as many miles, not near as they go in cars nowadays. We just took it easy.
Were you following a trail or roads when you came up?
Yes, there was the roads along from town to town. It was a pretty good road, not like it is now, but.
Now, did you see then at that time as you traveled across country, were there automobiles were there any automobiles traveling?
Oh, yes,
on the road?
Very few, but we would meet one once in a while, and it always scared the horses, so every time we'd meet a car, they wasn't used to that.
Well, how did you like traveling by covered wagon?
Well, we thought it was fun. I don't think I'd like it now.
As you got out here then, into this area, was there quite a bit of country that had been broken out for farming?
Well, in west of our homestead, that land had been settled up before we came out here, and our homestead was about 2 miles from the Richardson farm, and they had been out here, I think, a couple of years. I don't know for sure just how long before we came, but I know we hauled water from there for a while until we got a well put down.
What about the land itself as you saw it as a young girl? Was it what you anticipated when you were back in Nebraska?
Well, I just hardly know how to answer that. We knew that it was just like the prairie. There wasn't any land. That is where we on our homestead, we had to plow this ground, and it took quite a little while to get started. We came out from Torrington, and while we were in Torrington, Harry bought some wire, barbed wire, and some posts, and then he put up a little fence and took the covered wagon off of the running gears of the wagon, and then we went back to Torrington the next day on the running gears of the wagon and got a load of lumber.
Now, you had to put up your shack, homestead shack, after you got there.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take your husband, and I suppose you, to put up that shack?
Well, I really don't know just exactly how long it took, but it didn't take him long to put up the shack after he got started, but I just don't know. Our shack was only 10 by 14, so it was just a little building. And then later, we built on and had a kitchen and a bedroom. Then we had three rooms when we first went there, just this one little room.
Could you describe the inside of your home?
Well, it was just all the furniture was, we didn't have any bought furniture, it was just something Harry made, and he made it in such a hurry that it wasn't like building furniture, it was just put up a 1x12 and some shelves for a cupboard and washstand and so on. We did have an oil stove that we brought out with us in the covered wagon, and then later, of course, we got a different stove, but when we first got there, everything was just built out of 1x12s, and that was it.
Do you keep warm in the winter?
Well, our house wasn't lined, and it had tar paper on the outside, and it just had, what do they call this, red paper of some kind. That's what it was lined with. I can't think what you call it now, but it was a heavy paper, and we did keep warm because it was so small, and kept a fire. We had a heating stove in the front room and a little kitchen stove in the kitchen, and by keeping the fires going, while we kept pretty warm.
Now, did you mention you burned oil for fuel?
No, we did. We went to the canyons, and that's where Harry got the post to fence our place with. He'd cut posts, and I would pick up pieces of wood, and then we'd haul that home for firewood.
Did you have a wood floor then in your shack?
Yes, we did.
What about when it rained? Did the water come in?
No, it didn't. If we had a hailstorm, I'm sure that it would have leaked and torn the tarred paper up, but I don't recall that it ever leaked.
I think one woman had mentioned to me that one of the things they had to think about were all the rattlesnakes in the country at that time. Was that a worry with you?
When we first went there, people told us, now, don't walk around any place without carrying a hoe or a big stick some kind. And there was a lot of rattlesnakes. In fact, we killed one in our house one time.
Well, that must have been an exciting...
Well, it was, but it was on account of the screen door didn't fit good, and we had a hook at the bottom to hook it, and somewhere or other, someone came to this front door, and Harry had gone out the front door, and of course, I didn't think about hooking that, and this happened just before dinner. And while we were eating dinner, that snake had crawled in the house. But Harry got busy and fixed the door.
What about other problems that you had living in your homestead shack? Did it seem unusual, or did you more or less just accept it? Well,
there was so many young folks had homesteaded there, and I don't know, we just seemed to have a good time. We had ice cream socials and things going on, and I don't recall that ever thinking it was so hard times, only when Harry had to go away to work and I had to stay alone, I didn't care for that very much. Got pretty lonesome.
Well, you lived on your homestead then for, what, about 6 years before coming to Yoder?
Yes, it'd be just 6 years, wouldn't it? We came out here in 1916. It would be five years.
And you moved to Yoder in
1921.
What about in those years out there? Were you among the earliest homesteaders then?
Well, right there in that neighborhood, but as I said, west of us, from about 2 miles west of us, then clear up to the rim, that had been settled up before we went out there.
Now, did those farmers then primarily raise wheat from the beginning?
Yes, they had the crops just like they do now, only it was awfully dry most of the time we was on the homestead, and we did raise, 1 year we had pretty good crops, but the first year we went out there, we didn't get much land, broke up, and the range cattle took everything we did have. They just go right through the fences. And
do you recall who the range cattle those were and out in that region?
Well, there were several different ranches out there, and they all went by the brands, and I've forgotten what they were.
Now, you mentioned that you were kind of part of that little community of Lakeview.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall why the term Lakeview?
No, I don't really know why they named it that, because there wasn't a lake around there, and I don't know how come, but after we had been there about a couple of years, then we got the mail from Lingle, and we didn't go to the Lakeview post office. There was another post office closer to us, and it was called Rock Eagle. And the mail came out from Lingle to Rock Eagle post office.
Did you get mail every day then?
I don't believe we did. I don't hardly think so.
When did you get your first automobile, Mrs. Malm?
Well, I believe it was 1917. And it was just a little Model T.
Did that seem to change your life quite a bit?
Yes, it did. There was one of our neighbors that lived close to us that had a car before we got ours. And then, as I said, the people that lived west of us, I think most of them had cars. But we could go much more after getting the car.
I'm curious. That was about the time, of course, that we were involved, or I shouldn't say we yet, but World War I was on. And we entered then. Not too long after that, then we entered the war.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find any cases of where some of the German people were discriminated against out in that area because they were German and we were fighting in the war?
No, not. I don't think we did.
There were certain situations in Wyoming where some of the German people did suffer some.
But not there. I don't recall what they did.
There were no problems within the German families.
No, not at all.
Now, most of those people that were out there with you then, did they stay a fairly long period of time on their homesteads out there, or when did they begin moving away?
Well, there was quite a few moved away about the time we did, and some stayed on, but I don't know that right now, well, for 7 years, they hasn't been very many down there. I don't know just who bought up most of that land, but I think some rancher did.
And you mentioned that most of your trading was done in Langlois.
Mm-hmm.
How large was Langlois at that time?
Well, I can't remember figures very good, but of course it wasn't near as large as it is now. But it was, I think it was kind of an old town when you came here.
Well, you moved now to Yoder in 21. What prompted you to move off the homestead into the town?
Well, Harry really didn't like farming. And when the town of Lyman was built, he worked there quite a little that winter. And then of course, there was a talk of the railroad coming up here, you know, and he wanted to come to the town, whatever it would be named. He wanted to come to the new town and do carpenter work instead of farming. So we rented our farm for 7 years and then later sold it.
Now, you came here then as Yoder was beginning. Do you recall how Yoder kind of got started up? What's the process here?
What do you mean?
Well, do you recall it? Were you among the very first to come in here, and there were a few buildings, or
yes.
What was the state
Well, I came in September, of course, and the town, there was quite a few houses around here then, or most of them little shacks, but I don't know.
Was it the railroad that brought the people in?
Yes, I think it was. The railroad helped too, I know. And there was quite a few carpenters here, and there was a lot of work for a short time, but the town grew so fast, and then pretty soon it was all over with. And the houses, some of them began to move the houses out of Yoder, and it just kept getting smaller and smaller.
Why did Yoder boom so fast, almost overnight? What caused that to happen?
I don't know, really.
I suspect there were anticipations that this was going to become a county seat.
Yes, they talked to... Some would argue that it wouldn't be long till it would be as large as Scott's Bluff. But I really don't know just why they thought that.
What did all these people do then? For instance, in your case, your husband was a carpenter. He built houses. But what did these other people do then?
Well, a lot of them worked... Well, there was helpers for carpenters, a lot of them was, and really I can't think what they did do. But I suppose that's the reason they began to move out of here. There wasn't enough work for them.
Now, did a lot of the farmers in the surrounding area then begin to come into Yoder to trade?
Yes. On Saturday afternoon, merchants here would put on a free picture show, and it drew a lot of a crowd to that, and there was three grocery stores here, and there was people didn't go to Torrington like they do now. They just would stop here in Yonder and trade.
Well, did the people come in on a Saturday night then, out from the surrounding area? In the
well, they came, when they had these picture shows, they came Saturday afternoons and do their shopping, go to the picture show and do their shopping. But I don't recall that they made a special trip of coming in Saturday nights. But perhaps they did, because they used to have quite a few dances here.
Now, if you look at Yoder now, there's houses more or less scattered around and quite a number of vacant lots. Were there a good number of, good deal more houses then than now?
Oh, yes. There was lots more houses. This, let's see, there was one, two. This was the fifth house from down there on this street. But they were all, well, there was one quite nice house. The rest of them were just small houses. And some people would live in tents, you know, and planned to stay here. And then when work got scarce, why, they left and went elsewhere. And I know that the winter of 1923, I think it was 22 and 23, why, Harry didn't have much work here, and he went to Casper and worked. I kind of believe about the last work he did here that winter was on the schoolhouse up here. And then one summer, he worked in Cheyenne most all summer, just come home weekends.
At that time, did the highway currently, Mrs. Yoder, goes by Silvertip just about 2 miles or 1.5 miles east of Yoder.
Yes.
At that time, did the highway from Torrington to Cheyenne go right, I shouldn't say highway, perhaps road, go right through Yoder?
From Torrington?
Yes.
No, it was always out there. about where it is now, this would stay, well, I'm sure it was.
Was there a Silvertip that existed
no,
at that time?
No, not then. There wasn't. That there used to be a store right north of where Silvertip is, and on the east side of the road, and then there was a schoolhouse just across the road east of Silvertip, and it was called Springer School.
I suppose when Yoder began, though, then Springer.
Yes, they wanted the town there, and it perhaps would have been better being on the highway to have had the town there, but I don't know just how it happened that Yoder won out.
Did Yoder continue to thrive? We know it boomed for a very brief time, but did it die just as quickly, or did it kind
yes.
of thrive throughout the 20s?
No, it just seemed like it, when it began to die, it just died.
Was that right a few years afterwards then?
Yes, not very many years after that. It just, although there was, for several years, there was, let's see, there was two grocery stores was here for quite a while, and I think the third one stayed quite a little while too, so I guess it didn't die as suddenly as I thought it did.
Would you have characterized or described Yoder in those first couple of years as a rather wild town where you had quite a number of cowboys off the range as well as homesteaders?
No, I don't think it was ever called a wild town. They did have a rodeo here. It was south of where the schoolhouse is. And they had quite a nice grandstand there and playing ball there. And during the rodeo, there was a lot of cowboys here, but otherwise there wasn't.
How did the cowboys and the homesteaders get along in those 30 years?
Well, when we went to the homestead, why, there wasn't very many cowboys around there. It was just, I know some people have thought of there'd be a lot of Indians and cowboys, but we didn't see very many. There was cowboys, of course, on the ranches, but we didn't see many in our here in Yoder or when we saw the homestead either.
Well, evidently Yoder was quite an up-and-coming town for a brief spell because...
Well, it was, but I was just thinking about... I'm sure it was the winter of 1922 and 23 that Harry worked in Casper, and there just wasn't any carpenter work around here at that time. Later, he did quite a little work at down south of here, the Davis Ranch and the Cold Ranch, and for Joma Jay, he worked for him a lot. And, of course, there'd be quite a little carpenter work out in the country like there is now, but not right here in town.
Yoder, I believe,
Yes, it was street lights on all the streets, I guess. I know the children used to be quite a few children here in this part of town, and they'd play out and be real light, you know, street lights around.
Well, for a while, then Yoder must have been one of the larger towns, aside then from Torrington, in the area.
Well, I'm not sure, but I don't know whether it was ever larger than Huntley or not, but I think it was larger than Bittern.
Do you recall any of the particular persons in town that were more or less instrumental or important in getting things going, seemed to be interested in seeing the town grow? Or...
Well, I don't know. I can't recall. We had a mayor right away.
I suspect that there were some rather interesting people in those early years in the town.
Yes, there was. There was a doctor here. We had two drugstores here at one time.
Did, seems as though that I've read at one time, if you can recall for me, even had a bank hold up in Yoder.
They did.
Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
Episode, I wonder.
Well, I wouldn't want to name names, but it didn't really amount to too much.
What were some of the most exciting things that you recall happening in Yoder?
Exciting? Well, I expect there were several, but I can't think of any right now. That bank robbery, that was quite exciting for a little while, but...
What did most of the people do then for entertainment? Picture show, you mentioned, was
one
thing.
They had a lot of dances here and picture shows, and there was... hometown plays, and they had they observed Music Week for several years, and the talent from other towns would come in sometimes, and they had Chautauqua here, I think 2 years, I know one, and I believe 2 summers in Chautauqua, and I don't know, the church always had their Christmas programs and Easter programs and things.
How many churches did you have?
Well, there was two here part of the time. And one time, I'm not sure whether there was three here at one time or not, but there was a Presbyterian church that was in that house where Mr. Joy lives now. It used to be... That was moved in from the country, and then the church, where it is now, And I can't think what the other church was called, the German people, but I can't think what it was called.
Did you have any particular groups of people, such as German people or others, that seemed to stand out more in the area?
I can't recall right now.
In other words, you had no particular ethnic group or any group that seemed to dominate the town or the area?
I don't think so.
What happened then in the 1930s as the Depression came? Did it affect the people a good deal?
Yes, it did. The work was awfully scarce. It just seemed like it was almost impossible to get a job part of the time. And I know that Harry would work at just any kind of work he could get to do. There wasn't much carpenter work then, and he just worked around the odd jobs, whatever he could find to do.
Did that further lead to more people moving away from Yoder than in Depression years?
Well, yes, I think it did. Sure it did. I know several people would even left this country and moved to other states, you know, in hopes of finding work.
Now, you continued then to live here through the 30s and into the 1940s and 50s.
Yes, I've been here in the same house, only it wasn't this big then, just big now, but then ever since September 1921. And Cleo and I are the oldest people. Of course, he was in the service a while. And
this is your son, Cleo.
Mm-hmm. But I guess we're the oldest ones here.
You mean you're the longest resident here?
I may be the oldest. Yes, that's what I meant.
You have seen then really the birth of Yoder, its life, and now where it's reduced to not very many people. Could you in any way say anything about the Yoder's existence in the town and your own thoughts? What are your thoughts about Yoder?
Well, it's always been home to me. And we've always found we've had nice neighbors. And I've always liked the people here.
Do you think that it will increase in population again in the next 10 or 20
years? I don't think it will, although some say that it perhaps will, but I doubt it. I don't know.
What do you think will happen to Yoder?
Well, I think it'll perhaps stay just about like it is now.
Well, this has been, I think, real interesting to visit with you, particularly the fact, I think, that in 1916, you came out to this country in a covered wagon.
I guess we were just that old-fashioned.
Mrs. Ballone, I want to thank you for sharing with us then some of your recollections of Yoder and the early days as a homesteader. Is there anything that you'd like to add to what we have talked about?
Well, I can't think of anything. It was nice of you to call on me, but I'm afraid I did a pretty poor job.
Well, I think you did a very nice job of telling us about some of the things about Yoder in your early years. So I want to thank you again, Mrs. Ballone.
Okay. Well, that's